Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all still want me to come with you? WAMS Radio on this Friday the 13th, and we just heard ZZ Top talking about Las Vegas, and our next guest, Lou Ilar, is an expert on two seemingly very separate things, gambling and martial arts, and Chuck Norris, and what does it all have to do with one another? Lou Ilar joins us in 30 seconds on WAMS. Remember this song from 1974?
Everybody was kung fu.
Ah, from 1974, one-hit wonder Carl Douglas in Kung Fu Fighting, and we did that especially for our guest Lou Ilar today, as we're going to be talking about, well, Chuck Norris and gambling and what those two things have to do with each other. Lou, welcome to WAMS.
Oh, it's good to be here. Thank you for having me on, Burke.
Well, now, I have to, first of all, sort of set this up for the folks who are listening, and they could be listening anywhere in the world on the web. They can call in at 718-506-1944. But Lou, in the martial arts world, you're sort of a big deal yourself, and I know you well enough to know that you don't like to toot your own horn, but tell us a little bit about your martial arts background.
Oh, well, it's very difficult to talk about it simply because of the fact it's something that I've done ever since I guess was 10 and worked on through most of my life doing something with martial arts. My father was a boxer and bought me a speed bag, I think, when I was 10 years old. And although he never admitted that he was a boxer, I didn't find that out until he passed away. But he sure could work that speed bag. And then I wrestled in high school, and then I came into martial arts, the Asian version.
But now you're being far too modest.
I was about 16 or 17, and it's been a regular part of my life ever since.
Well, and you're being very modest. I've actually seen, magazine articles about you. You've achieved some pretty high rankings in that world.
I did that and was fortunate to do that. And academically, I had some great things happen to me also. And I've had a very rich and exciting life. And can't say that I haven't been the cause of that, because it seems as if periodically I seem to be ahead of my time in some regard. And one of the things that we did with Martial Arts in America years ago was we began to pay attention to disabled kids. And we noted that studying it really helped them. And today I work with kids with AD and just all sorts of problems. I think I worked with kids with Tourette's and had great success. And I can go on and on from asthma, myself being a victim of it. It helped an awful lot of folks to feel better and to be more functional.
Well, you married your two passions together of martial arts and Hollywood, and you actually were a screenwriter of a movie called Sidekicks, and we have a clip now from that movie, Sidekicks. Screenwriter Lou Alar joining us on WAMS, and movie, of course, starred Chuck Norris. Here's a little bit of Sidekicks.
Keep going, lady. Don't even think about quitting.
You can do it, Barry.
Barry. Hey, Barry. I'll race you to the top.
I can't.
Sure you can. Just wrap your leg around the rope and hold it with your foot.
I can't.
Barry, I hate that word.
I was talking to you.
Hey, you up there. You're not off again. Get going.
Don't listen to them. Listen to me. Wrap your leg around the rope. That's it. Now hold it with your foot.
Okay.
Now all the weight's in your leg. Relax your arms a little. See? Weight's in your leg. There you go. All right. Now pull. That's it. Use your legs. That's it. Good. There you go. Pull. Yeah.
Come on, Barry. You can do it.
Pull, Barry. Yeah, you did great, Barry. It's all of yours, Barry. All the way to the top.
That's from the movie Sidekicks, and the screenwriter Lou Alar, who was one of the screenwriters for Sidekicks, joins us on the phone today on WAMS. And so here you are, Lou. You're a big-time martial arts guy yourself. You have a movie that's actually being produced in Hollywood, which, you know, many screen plays are written. Very few are produced. You're on the set. Is this the first time that you meet Chuck Norris in person?
No. I met him several times before, and talked to him several times before, because there was not an out effort being made to just steal the script and do it without me. There were ethical considerations toward the disabled that I guess Norris at that time felt was unnecessary because he had another agenda. And it was difficult for me to understand what that agenda was, but years later, it became evident that he had some aspirations that went way beyond the martial arts. And he saw Sidekicks as an opportunity to make him, I think, a household word, and he has become that. And also, I suspect, to align himself with political power, which he did at that time with George W. Bush. He had, prior to this, had a relationship with Ronald Reagan that most folks are unaware of. And that relationship had an awful lot to do with his relationship or his connections with the casino world that became very prevalent as we see today.
And by the way, now would be a good time to mention, Lou, that your new book, Believe Me or Your Lying Eyes, which is available right here on our WAMS website and Amazon.com, really deals with the gaming industry as well as Chuck Norris's connection there. And I do want to mention this movie that you were the screenwriter of. This was, for children of a certain age, one of the must-see movies when that came out. Was it 1992, is that right?
93.
Very good. Then, you know, if you were a young person, you know, a teenager during that time, that was one of the movies to see. And it starred a very popular young actor who unfortunately has passed away since then, Jonathan Brandis, and of course Chuck Norris and Joe Piscopo. And so no matter what is said from here on out, you have a piece of pop culture history, and you must be very proud of that.
I am. To some degree, that vignette that you just ran was a little sad, hearing John Brandis' voice and knowing, you know, what was going on at that time. and my good friend Marco, who was so special, is no longer with us. So, you know, you have these great relationships, and the absence of them sometimes takes you back, and we forget about those moments when we were at our best. But I think at that time we were.
We've got one more clip from the movie Sidekicks, and the screenwriter Lou Alar joining us today on WAMS.
Chuck Norris? Chuck Norris? He doesn't compete anymore, kid. And one of the reasons, one of the main reasons he doesn't, is me.
Okay, that's right.
He doesn't compete because I would kick his ass.
Let's go, son. Come on.
Kick his ass.
That's the first thing.
It's Joe Piscopo beating up on Chuck Norris a little bit there in the movie Sidekicks. The screenwriter Lou Alar joins us on WAMS today. And Lou, the reason we wanted to have you on the show is that it appears that Chuck Norris, who starred in this movie that you wrote, is melting down. It's all over the Internet. It's all over television. It was on CNN, on Howard Stern. Chuck Norris says that he wants to run for president of Texas. Now, Lou, you're a college-educated man. You probably are aware that Texas is in fact, not its own country. So that could cause problems in Chuck's plan. What's the deal with Chuck Norris?
You know, at first value, when you know, at first glimpse, when we look at this, we think this guy probably needs to use zippers instead of buttons.
Yes.
But the fact of the matter is that as we look in his past, you know, because we have to do that, I think, because whenever he's interviewed on TV lately, he's become a historian. He talks about Thomas Jefferson. He talks about George Washington. And who knows, maybe he really knew these guys. He's getting up in age. It's possible, but I don't think so. The fact of the matter is that he doesn't know them. And we don't really know who these fellows were. We know of them by these snippets that people toss out who want us to believe whatever it is they have to say. The fact of the matter is that if we really look at those times and understand those men, they were great men. They had some very tough decisions to make. But it's not what they said that is important, it's what they did. And that's what's not understood when you just quote them, as Norris does so often. And I'll talk about that if we have enough time. But the fact of the matter is that he likes to talk about Thomas Jefferson. He likes to make us think that Thomas Jefferson didn't spend money. He also likes to talk about Patrick Henry. And he wants to tell us that Patrick Henry supported the Constitution. And in fact, Patrick Henry argued against it. Thomas Jefferson, yes, he made the Louisiana Purchase, but the problem was that purchase was a low-price purchase because of something else he did, which was he took the United States Marine Corps and invaded the Dominican Republic. Cost the United States an awful lot. He did that without the approval of Congress. Why did he invade the Dominican Republic? Because there was a slave government established. The slaves had overtaken the government, and bit by bit they had run a democratic election, and our Marines put them back in slavery.
Now, Lou, you obviously, you know, you make the point that Chuck doesn't know his history, but there's no secret here, I don't think, that there's no love lost between you and Chuck Norris, and I'm sure it goes back to Sidekicks. Is it tough for you, being a martial arts guy, though, to not have respect for what is arguably one of the best known martial artists in history?
Well, let me put it to you this way. I don't think it's a question of whether or not there is any love lost. It's whether or not love is gained. And what has been done to make any of us love him more? And when we started working with Sidekicks, we lost a lot of love. We lost a lot of love because I was concerned with the reaction that the movie would cause, and he wasn't. He was only interested in making a movie that highlighted him as a Hollywood movie star. And I created him as that character. I had a script, and they wanted to run with it. And they wanted to use him as that character in order to place in everyone's mind that he really was an actor, that he really was a good guy and a good person. And the cover-up was on. We didn't know anything about him in casinos. We didn't know anything about his efforts to create a casino in Russia. And I don't think I've ever heard Chuck use the word casino. Most of the time he'll talk about the Mohegan Hotel, but he'll never, ever use the word casino, mostly because of the fact it's my understanding that he still owns parts of certain casinos here in the United States and probably still in Russia. We don't know, but it is a dark side. And unfortunately, instead of the love growing, as I discovered the dark side, the love diminished.
Now, Chuck Norris is the subject of our conversation today, and we're talking with Lou Alar, who worked closely with Chuck on the movie Sidekicks, Lou, one of the screenwriters. If you have a question for Lou, you can call us at 718-506-1944. And obviously, Lou, you must know that taking on an American icon, which Chuck Norris arguably is not going to put you in the win column for a lot of folks. And I can just hear now people saying, oh, this is that, you know, liberal media bias. What say you?
I've come from a very conservative family. We never missed church on Sunday. It was a family affair. My grandmother, who could barely speak English, was picked up by my father, and we squeezed into a small car and drove about 20 minutes to get to that church every Sunday, and we never missed. I am and still remain a person who obviously follows principles. I suffered from asthma. I feel as if I owe my family some respect, and I do that by supporting disabled kids wherever I can. And that's what I did with the martial arts. And I think today the martial arts speak highly of me, and I speak highly of them because they've done a wonderful thing in suddenly opening their arms to kids that otherwise couldn't find any attention in the phys ed class.
Now, Lou, when you did Sidekicks, you had told me off the air that there was a scene in the movie that, in retrospect, you really wish had not been in the movie. And, in fact, before it was released wide, you tried to talk the producers out of including that scene. Talk to us a little bit about that scene and why it made such an impact on you.
Well, it wasn't just me, and I want to credit the executive producer, Jim McInville, because he admitted also after he had seen the screening that the scene was pretty horrible. And it wasn't fun to watch a kid twirl a six gun and point it at Joe Piscopo's head because Joe Piscopo said something that Brandis supposedly disliked. And when he pointed it to Piscopo's head, Chuck nods with approval, and then, of course, Piscopo recants what he said, and Brandis twirls the gun, puts it back in his holster, and then Piscopo says it again, and he pulls the gun out. Again, Brandis pulls the gun out, points at his head, and, well, you know, the scene now is even more haunting because of the very scene that took place in Columbine. It was a reenactment of that action.
And so it's your belief that maybe those young men that orchestrated that horrible school shooting at Columbine in Colorado may have seen the movie?
Well, you know, the kid pointed the gun, and it's hard for me to talk about it. I get a little choked up. The kid pointed the gun at the girl's head and asked her if she believed in. I believe this is the way it went. I wasn't there. But from what I gather, he asked her if she believed in God. And she said, I'm not sure what it was, but she said, and he pulled away, and then he put the gun back up to her head, and she said something just the opposite and shot it. And he shot her. The fact that they were dressed with a cowboy hat on and the trench coats, it was just too familiar for me to accept the fact that it wasn't. Now, maybe I feel some guilt simply because of the fact that no one would listen to me at that time except for the executive producer. But there was enough out there in the newspaper to tell us that kids were bringing weapons to schools and all the rest, and they still wanted to make guns look as if they were toys. And I don't think guns are fun. But that movie, unfortunately, depicts guns as being fun.
Lou Alar is the screenwriter of the movie Sidekicks, which starred Chuck Norris. He's also the author of a brand-new book called Believe Me or Your Lying Eyes, that takes a look at the gaming industry and Chuck Norris's own participation in it. And Lou, the reason we have you on today is Chuck has made this outlandish quote, and I'm going to read it to you, paraphrase it a little bit. In a recent column, I think it was Monday, in WorldNet Daily, Chuck Norris wrote, "I may run for president of Texas. That need may be a reality sooner than we think if the State of the Union continues to turn into the enemy of the state." And, Lou, you're not the only one who thinks this is pretty wacky stuff. We ran across this cartoon on YouTube, obviously not the real Chuck Norris, but someone having fun at Chuck Norris's expense. Give this a listen. It's Chuck Norris melting down, talking about wanting to run for president of Texas. And this is from...
Hi, I'm Chuck Norris, and I am running for president of Texas. I know what you're saying, Chuck. Texas isn't a country. Well, to that I say, Texas isn't a country because I haven't made it a country. I'm here today to urge, to command the people of Texas to rise up, secede from the United States, and begin the second American Revolution. And your leader shall be me, Mr. Delta Force, Mr. Octagon, Mr. Walker Texas Ranger, Mr. Chuck Norris. Ugh, I'm Chuck Norris, and I approve this message.
Obviously not the real Chuck Norris, but definitely having fun at his expense. Lou, you're a martial arts guy. Is Chuck Norris taking one too many kicks to the head here?
It would seem that way, but on the other hand, it's not extraordinary to his writing. If you read his very first book, there are some things said about his ambitions, and some things said about what he values in life, and they sort of fall right into place with that. But let me just tell you that I think, and it's hard to tell because the writing is so obscure, I read that very same article, and I came to the conclusion that it seems as if he's upset and Beck is upset about corruption in the United States.
And you're referring to Glenn Beck, who has the television show on Fox News Channel, of course.
Right. My difficulty with this kind of thing is the fact that nowhere do they ever name someone that they feel needs to be arrested or accuse anyone of being corrupt. And not that long ago, I think about 5 or 6 years ago, Norris once called a press conference in Florida, I think, and no one showed up because he was going to announce that he was against child pornography, but when you think about it, who's for it?
Yeah, good point.
And we're getting the same kind of thing. Is this, why is media picking up on this is the question. I mean, when he tried to have that supposed press conference in Florida, nobody showed up. But someone picked up on this idea of just talking about corruption as if it's ubiquitous. It's in your backyard. It's everywhere, and we better walk in circles. They don't mention anything about Bernie Madoff. They don't mention anything about Stafford. They don't mention anyone who's fighting to keep Bernie Madoff out of jail, or anyone who's fighting to keep Stafford from prosecution. But this sounds an awful lot like an attempt to just talk about character. And when I think about that fact, just the mere mention of someone being corrupt probably upsets the American people at this time.
Sure.
So we have a major distraction brewing over probably much of nothing. why it's going on, I don't know, other than the fact that it keeps us from perhaps focusing on what we should focus on. I'm curious as to why no one ever, since Norris likes to talk about history, why no one ever asks him about his history.
Well, you know, I think he's done a wonderful job at positioning himself as a family values guy. Lou, when my mother was still alive, her favorite television show every week was Walker, Texas Ranger. He was, you know, the guy with the good morals and standards and the straight arrow guy. And I think if we could boil down the essence of what you're trying to say is that a book is not like its cover in this case, that he is not all that he pretends to be.
Well, I don't know that he pretends that much. I mean, I've been watching, you know, once in a while you still see that infomercial on that machine that he sells. And there's Wesley Snipes still selling it. But you know where Wesley Snipes is, don't you?
Sure, absolutely. You know, world of hurt for not paying his taxes, yep.
Well, it's not just that he didn't pay his taxes, but he felt that Americans shouldn't pay taxes.
That's right.
Rather. And doesn't this sound quite a bit like that kind of rhetoric? Isn't this, when we're talking about corruption, we're just talking about a generality and it's everywhere, but we didn't ever talk about Wesley Snipes being corrupt, did we?
This is true.
And isn't it curious? I suspect that Wesley Snipes is still making money from that infomercial. So why is that? Why do we have to watch Wesley Snipes when he's in prison, in jail? Why is he still making money for that? There's a story there that I think someone ought to want to research. I can't.
Lou Allard did a ton of research, though, for his book, Believe Me or Your Lying Eyes. It details how the supposedly straight and narrow Chuck Norris has been involved in many a shady dealing, and this goes back many years, including quite a bit of a connection to the gaming industry. Now, the whole Chuck Norris story all over the media right now, he says that he'd like to run for president of Texas and secede from the union, and he's holding viewing parties for these so-called splinter groups right now. Luke, tell folks very quickly a little bit about your book if they'd like to pick it up from our website or from Amazon.com.
Well, I think, you know, what drew my attention to the casino industry was the fact that it appeared as if gambling suddenly had entered my living room one day when I tried to watch a professional boxing bout between two fellas fighting for the middleweight championship of the world, and one of them had a tattooed on his back GoldenPalace.com. And the fight almost didn't come off because what they wanted to come off was that tattoo on his back, and the fellow refused to take it off. Well, the fellow went on to become middleweight champion of the world. He fought that night, and he went on, I guess, to end up in, the case ended up in the Supreme Court, and they ruled that he had a right to put on his back whatever he wanted to because that was his freedom of speech. But my question was, don't I have a right to watch a boxing match without someone advertising in my home an online casino website? Wasn't that a violation of my right to privacy? No one seemed to argue that. And to this day, I wonder why. What's happened to our right to privacy, and is it really threatened by the corporate industry of gaming in America? And it looks like online gambling is going to happen, and the reason I believe that is because both of our last presidential candidates have been well supported by the casino industry, including our current president. I'm hopeful, though, that somehow or another we will limit the amount of money that leaves this country from gaming and the gaming industry. We don't know who owns these casinos. We don't know where the money's going. And I think
we're going to have to leave it there. That's all the time we have today. The book is believe me or your lying eyes. And thanks, everyone, for listening.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.